Welcome to episode 177 of the Book Wars Pod.
Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Oh my god, Chris, there are so many animals in this room right now.
We have an additional two Star Wars themed animals as new residents of the Cedar House.
It's true.
Oh, I forgot about the chinchilla.
Yes. One is a chinchilla. His name is Merly, after Sabine's cat, Merly.
Oh, dude.
Did I not post about the chinchilla? I'm sorry.
I'm honestly surprised that you heard about the dog and not the chinchilla. The chinchilla is Kate's favorite child.
That's true.
Like, this is, and unabashedly so, I would add.
That's accurate.
So Merly is named after Sabine's cat in Ahsoka, because we're cool like that. And then we finally have a Flix to Orca's Orca.
It's true.
As he snores into my leg.
Okay.
That's great, Orca.
That's great, Orca.
he's helping.
Yeah, Orca's here, and so is Flix. We'll post pics. They're great. They play together. She is Orca-sized and small and white.
Yes. And, yeah, no. Well, you can see them on the gram.
And they play together now, and it's delightful.
It is very cute.
And she plays back.
Yes.
At first, it was just Orca playing, and I was like, she's not enjoying it, but she's also not super into this, but now she plays back. It's very important.
It's true. Okay, sorry, I completely interrupted you. What book are we even doing?
Oh, who remembers? We are reading to, listening to, the audio drama Tempest Runner by Kevin Scott. Star Wars : The High Republic : Tempest Runner by Kevin Scott. We listened to the first half, which, if you're following along in the printed script that Random House published, is through scene 92. And if you're normal and just listening to it, is like 5 minutes into part four, which is super helpful and definitely helped Miranda know how much to listen to.
Listen, I decided that for once I was going to listen to a goddamn audiobook.
Don't you always listen to them on audiobook?
No, that's Kristen. I hate listening to audiobooks.
Oh, okay.
No,
I also hate audiobooks.
Because she reads significantly faster than she listens.
Although I will say I did just read the Three Body Problem series. And by read, I mean listen to an audiobook, because good God, I could not read those books.
Oh, I was reading that the last time I came to visit you guys and you were asleep until noon.
That's
what I did
on my bed.
Was trying to read it.
I don't read.
Famously.
But, good thing you're just the producer.
But can you?
The matter is still up for debate.
All right, that's fair. Listen, people's personal choices are their own.
And Richard's are that he's on two fucking book podcasts and doesn't fucking read.
I don't have to read for this podcast.
It's true.
I was going to say, I mean, he's only one podcast ahead of Kristen when she was on this one.
I mean, that's accurate. That's accurate. Because, oh boy.
I'm here to hit the sound effects, edit the podcast, leave.
And you're doing a great job.
And you do a great job.
That doesn't sound too hard.
Famous last words.
Oh my God. I can't believe the soundboard's working for the first time in like 6 fucking months or whatever. That's so wild.
It just needed
wonderful.
A break. It needed a summer, fall, winter, spring vacation.
God. My God.
Anyway, we read the first half of Tempest Runner. What are we all drinking?
I've got a Sippin' Tropical from Odell, which is a tropical fruit twist on their Sippin' Pretty, which is their sour beer, and then they've got like a whole bunch of like different kinds, which is great. So this one's got pineapple, passion fruit, tangerine, and a touch of Himalayan pink sea salt. So
ooh,
you can't have more than a touch, though.
It's true.
It ruins the whole balance.
And then the horrors begin.
The aura is just completely off.
I am drinking an A&W zero sugar cream soda, and it is fucking disgusting.
I was going to say, zero sugar cream soda sounds like it's a horrible bad. Combination.
Oh, God. He has to chug it to make it go away.
I'm not at my house right now. It's the only thing I have to drink. I'm dog sitting for family right now.
God damn it.
They did not set you up for success.
No, they did you dirty, friend.
I took a sip and I was like, this is fucking disgusting. Why do they make this?
And furthermore, why do you have this in your house?
Like, why did you purchase this?
Oh my word. Jeez. Burb, what you got?
I am drinking a beer. It is the Freem Pilsner by Freem in Hood River. I actually went there recently for the first time in a while. It was very exciting.
Nice.
I am drinking really quite a healthy dram of Yoichi single
Holy
malt.
Holy mother crap! How much fucking alcohol did you pour
it's
in that cup?
It's a lot of fingers. It's a lot of fingers.
That's, I think that's more than two, y'all.
It's not more than two.
I think it's more than
it
two.
It was solidly two. Mm-hmm.
It looks like a How big are your fingers?
That looks like a solid three, Chris.
Don't ask
you,
how
man.
Big his fingers are.
I was going to say, I don't think you can ask me that in front of Kate.
I can do whatever the fuck.
It's
I
illegal
flirt with
for
her
you to
in front
ask
of you.
Me that.
I flirt with your wife in front of you all the time. This feels like it should be allowed.
That's fair. That's fair. God. You would show no reserve about asking Kate how big her fingers are in front of me.
I would never ask her that. That is very weird.
That's gender equality.
Oh God. Fuck off.
Feminism. But yeah, so yike. I'm drinking Yoichi single malt from Nikka Distillery in Japan. This came back from us, or came back with us from Japan. Not because we went to the distillery, because the distillery is kind of in the middle of nowhere up on Hokkaido, which we were not there, but I want to go. But we did go to like five different big box stores looking for this goddamn whiskey because.
Oh my God.
So I learned this while we were there. Apparently, Japanese whiskey got super popular about 10 years ago. And then they experienced this issue where it's a small fucking island and they don't produce that much of it. And so the world kind of just ran out until they could, ramp up production more.
So then there was basically no actual Japanese whiskey in fucking Japan because they exported all of it so they could get the, markup and whatever the fuck.
Yeah, which is a shame because it's so much cheap. This was relatively expensive in Japanese terms, and it was still half the price it is in the U.S.
Is that the one that you knee-jerk were just I'm buying it and
this
we're
is
at
not
the
one
airport?
I bought in the duty-free shop. Okay. No.
How much are you paying for your whiskey?
This was probably $45 in Japan.
Okay.
So it's $90-ish.
Oh, that's
US.
Too many dollars.
That's it. Plead the fifth on this one. Don't ask me how much I spend on whiskey.
It's fine. This is why Chris and I have separate bank accounts.
The good thing is, I actually I always think about drinking whiskey, and I rarely actually drink whiskey. So my bottles last me a really long time. And Kate doesn't drink whiskey, so he's right behind you in case you're looking for the dog.
Okay, great. No, noted. I will not roll my chair.
Yeah,
over
please
my
don't
son.
Roll back. But yeah, it's delicious. It's got a smokiness to it because it's very much kind of modeled off of the Islay style single malt scotch.
Oh.
But yeah, it's delicious.
Fancy.
Cool story, Chris.
I thought so. I really want to go back to Japan and only just do whiskey tastings. Which honestly, from here and the way the yen is right now, might be cheaper than going to Scotland.
That's hilarious.
I was looking up flights to Scotland recently. You're not going to you're going to lose money on the whole euro or pound thing, but it's relatively
cheap. Yeah, the pound is stronger than the yen, and I'm not flying from the East Coast anymore, so it's a more expensive flight. Our flight to Japan was $400 each.
What? That's a pretty good flight.
Yeah, I mean, we did catch an insane deal.
Yeah.
But if I see a deal like that again, I might just fucking go again.
You gotta go.
You gotta give.
Stop.
Fuck off.
Speaking of giving.
Speaking of giving, you got to give to your local abortion fund to make the hellscape marginally less hellscapey. Everything sucks. Go to abortionfunds.org to find your local abortion fund.
And the reason why we're suggesting this is, like, does Planned Parenthood do great work? Yes. And also, the more local you give your dollars, your dollars stay local and they actually, like, go to things instead of, like, you know, ad campaigns that don't work. So
Planned Parenthood doesn't need your money.
Yeah.
But your local abortion fund probably does.
Correct.
Neither does the Trevor Project, just throwing that out there.
Mm.
If you're so inclined to donate.
Good one. Yep. All right.
Cool.
So, shall we?
Shall we run a tempest?
Stop. Don't. Yes, though.
Well, in honor of Kristen, when and where are we, Miranda?
We're in the galaxy far, far away.
Wow.
Strong start.
We're when and where a bunch of places.
Yes.
That's fair. Let's start with, like, the A plot.
Vaguely after Valo.
Yes.
Yes. Great. After Valo. What else does the thing say? After Out of the Shadows, which is probably a thing I've read.
It famously is. In fact, it is one of the more recent books you've read.
It's the one where we met Nerd Baby Reef.
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
No.
Is that the one that's at the fair?
That was Into the Dark. It's the one where we meet the U-Hauling space lesbians.
Oh, excuse the fuck out of me. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, I never finished that one.
Girl!
I wasn't... you guys had to record without
me. Absolutely nothing. I have great news, guys. I found beer in the fridge.
Oh, hell yeah!
St. Arnold fancy lawnmower. I don't know what this is, but...
Just drink it, see what happens.
At no point could I have guessed what that last word was going to be.
Carry on.
Oh my god.
Speaking of beer,
important information. I'm happy for you.
Lorna in a bar, I think, at the beginning. And then so it's after... No?
Nope. You can do it. We don't meet Lorna in a bar.
Where was she?
She's just staring blankly and has Chris do something.
This is amazing.
It's been like
so
a while since
Pan
I've
Ada
to the
in a bar.
Yes. We don't know, realize it's Pan Ada at first. But someone... yeah, no, he's alive and he wants to do some stabby stabby revenge because Lorna D tried to kill him.
So he allegedly died. His Tempest was wiped out by the Republic in a sneak attack after, or a trap rather, after the Valo Fair. At the end of The Rising Storm, I think is what that book is called.
Yes.
And then he was not seen again until now when he murdered someone in a bar.
Dun, dun, dun. Or whatever.
And he wants revenge against Lorna.
Yes.
For betraying him.
So what Lorna D is up to is she is super arrested. and the guy that Pan kills is telling him a story about how Lorna got arrested. She's in the custody of the High Republic and she's now on a real cool prison ship.
But which... notably, because they're idiots, they don't know that they have her.
Yes. They're not. This is an important deal. So that's good. And then while all of this is happening, the third timeline is Lorna D's misspent youth, where we discover that she was like a Twilight princess on some like
whole ass princess.
Yes. On a Rylothian colony planet or whatever. So yeah, there's a lot going on. So anyway, here we are. This is one of those things where, like, I feel like the three timelines works fine in the audio drama because there's like, it's nice to be able to delineate things with like pew pew noises. But if it were a book, I feel like I'd be like far more confused. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think this story would work as a book because, honestly, not a lot happens. It'd be a pamphlet. It'd be a novella.
It'd be like fucking Phasma.
It's a Wikipedia article.
Yep. Like, and honestly, one of my issues with audio dramas I liked the Dooku one. I liked the Aphra one. We straight up might skip the one in High Republic Phase 2 because I just really don't think it adds anything at all.
How many are there?
And this one is the fourth. And I think this one is like fine, but it's just like so much of it is, well, as you know, new friend, let me tell you some expositional thoughts about our situation. And it's a lot. So we're finding out a lot about the exact situation that they're in.
I honestly feel like I need to like know more about this genre because I haven't listened to any other like audiodramas or like, you know, they have those podcasts that are, you know, serial or episodic or whatever, what have you, where they do some sort of fiction. I just haven't listened to them. I don't know. Are they all like this? I have no fucking clue. So nor have I listened to any of that like old timey shit that they used to, like War of the Worlds type of stuff. So I have no idea if they're just all like this or what. But anyway.
Yeah. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's, you know, I think it's more a failing of the medium than a failure of the author in this case. But yeah, we're learning about Lorna D and how she led her family to get murdered.
Hey. Yeah. So yeah, that's cool. Do we want to talk about prison first or murder?
I mean, tomato, tomato. We can talk about the High Republic prison industrial complex.
Yes. So, you know, they have these lovely lofty goals about, well, it's prison, but like we're the aim is to reform people. And I'm like, prison is prison is prison, but okay.
But I mean, it is interesting though, because like, so you're the header point that you put for this is High Republic justice. And it is really interesting because like, we do see the Jedi and just the High Republic in general being far more concerned with like actual doing good than we ever see in the prequel era. Like we see, spoiler for when we talk about Lorna's past, but like we see Oppo Rancisis fucking murder a lot of slavers and see, I mean, here, you know what I mean? And as in direct contrast to, have you come to save the slaves? Qui-Gon makes a heart with his hands. No. Like, and furthermore, like, actually took an interest in Lorna when he, like, could sense that she was angry and directionless at the time. And, like...
Listen, I cannot believe that Master, like, Harry Snake really sent her to fucking military school, though. I was like, this is your
Master
solution.
Master Harry Snake sent her to boarding school. This is correct.
Was military school. Not just boarding school, fucking military school. I was like, what?
I don't know. I was just finishing the part that I finished today. And I swear the guys at the... on the ship, on the prison ship, were like, some of you are going to go into agriculture. And I'm like, is this really reforming, or are we doing like a U.S. prison system?
Well,
where...
yeah, and so that's the next point, because they talk a big game about, we don't like to use force. We like to talk about our feelings and like actually reform you. And like, that's great. And you're also getting labor out of them for 3 credits a day.
Yeah, that's not enough.
And the prison is still corrupt. Like, there's like one good prison guard who clearly wants to fuck not Lorna.
Oh my god, stop.
And like everybody else is in like the big criminal person in prisons.
Right, there's like
pocket.
There's one prison boss, and she basically runs everything actually. And and literally even the guards are afraid of her. So, you know, that's cool. Like real prison.
Yeah. But it is interesting. I mean, especially knowing who the brain trust is for the High Republic books, audio dramas, and knowing that, like, I mean, Daniel Jose Older is, like, outwardly prison abolitionist. I am not familiar with everybody else's political views necessarily, but there's a lot more people of color than there are than generally create Star Wars.
I mean, I feel like Kevin depicted the prison in this manner for
reasons.
Yeah, like I feel like this does feel like a very intentional choice to be like very high-minded, and yet it is still prison. Like, and like, sounds and like we're gonna Republic. See, like, because like the guard tries to talk to Lorna and be like, "I believe in you. Like, you can do big things, and also like you stood up for people, and also." We're gonna launch an inquiry about what happened when what happened is the prison boss started beating up her friend and the other guards were paid off to not be in the room. Like,
it's not really rocket science.
And she calls him on it. She's like, "You're not that dumb."
Yeah. So anyway.
So it is just interesting to see, like, on the one hand, this like actual high-mindedness from the Jedi. And personal attention to the people that they're trying to help. And still the institutions are not set up for success.
Prison, just another one of Lena So's great works.
But it's a moving prison.
Oh my god, it's prison in space! Jesus.
Also, how big is that ship that they're doing agriculture in space?
It sounds maybe pretty goddamn big.
Do they, like, take them other places for the agriculture? I was not clear on this.
I'm also not clear on it.
Like, are they going to get off of the ship?
I don't know. It feels like a really fucking big ship. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to compare it to, but a large ship. Because I can't remember. I feel like at some point they say how many prisoners are on that ship, and it is, like, in the thousands. So, yeah. Feels large. Feels like a big boy.
Chonky prison.
Yes.
Big boy. Big boy.
But, you know, more to come on how Lorna's life in prison proceeds, because she's got a lot of very large and violent people mad at her. And only so much she can do, as cool as she is.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we can like kind of move to talking about Lorna a little bit. She's a lot more scared of her own people than one would have anticipated from the previous books.
Well, we never see her vulnerable in the previous books.
That's true. Yeah.
This is true. I mean, that's the key with bullies, right? Like, they keep the air of invulnerability around them so that they don't need to worry about anything because they're actually just scared.
You know, when you have a thought and it just like flees your brain immediately because you have long COVID and your brain is made of Swiss cheese now. she's always been such an interesting character to me as we've been reading the High Republic books, because she's so like, obviously like Pain 8 has been like absolute brute force, and Kassav was just like, I don't know, kind of like blustering his way like through things without having very much to back it up. Lorna D is fucking slippery as hell, though. And the thing with slippery people is that they usually have a, like, you know, they don't just have plan B. They have plan all the way to fucking end of the Greek alphabet, wherever the hell it is. I, like, and she, this is, yeah, but like you were saying, Burb, this is the first time we've seen her without resources, like, whatsoever. Like, she has no weapons, she has no disguises, she has no droids. The one, like, the other person who was in her Tempest and under her, now has the, you know, leverage on her because she knows her identity and is just using that for blackmail. And so, yeah, we've never seen Lorna D up against the wall in this way, even when she was, like, super duper injured, because that, it was like that goo Jedi who, like, beat the ever-loving shit out of her.
No, oh, yeah. They launched her out of the building.
Yeah, no, he like, no, Flubber fucking blasted her out of the roof. It was great.
Dude, I thought you just said Flubber finger blasted her off of the roof.
No!
And I was like, that would have been the fuck have I been missing in the High Republic?
A very different book. A very... very different book. Can Goo have fingers?
Stop!
I have a joke about Chris's fingers to sell you, though.
No! Thank you, Wowie.
How many goo fingers of scotch did I pour myself?
Oh my god. Is this too better many. Or worse than the time that we were just talking about feet straight up on the pod?
Honestly, everybody who listened to that episode should have been required to join our Patreon.
Oh god.
I 100% thought you said she got finger blasted off the roof, and I was like,
that is not the Jedi way, unless you're
but it
one.
Should be the title, to be clear. Anyway.
Wow.
Don't I contribute so much to this
you
podcast?
You do. Truly. Aren't I?
Truly.
You're a gift. Okay, you need to
that doesn't sound too hard.
Chris, you need to say things while I just cry for 5 minutes. Okay.
But yeah, Lorna D is still kind of this, like, and obviously this is on purpose. They're kind of slow rolling her own motivations and what she's trying to do. But I mean, I think it's fair to say that she is trying to not spend 10 years in prison. And ideally be in charge of stuff again. Seems pretty reasonable to guess, but like, we have her history obviously of being in this very sheltered position and her naivety quite literally dooming her family, although, you know, I think it's arguable that it's not her fault because they were fucked anyway. She probably, like, you know.
Other things were her fault, though.
Oh, plenty of other things were her fault. The thing with her family, probably not, though.
It's like, she learned from that naivety real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she relatively did, but quick. Also not immediately, because we saw her being a slave as well, and she is, like, she gets beat a lot.
My father, the inventor of Ryloth. Would like a word with you.
It is true. But yeah, and so when we see her as a slave, like, she has this, like, experience where she, like, is trying to be like, you can't treat me like this, and the slavers are like, that's cute.
Yes. So it's a story about like power reversals, right? Like, she thinks she doesn't have power, even though she's part of this, like, basically, like, royal family on the Twilight Colony, and then she becomes a slave, and she very quickly realizes how much power she's lost, actually, even though she had felt so oppressed before by her siblings. And then, yeah, it's very easy to figure out why, after having those experiences, she's just become very mercenary, all out for herself. Like, this is never going to be a position that I'm going to be in my life ever again. Which is, of course, how she finds herself on a fucking prison ship. So
that was a fun bit of writing. I swore then I would never be held prisoner again. Her friend. How's that working out for you?
Yep.
That was good. That got a chuckle out of me.
The side characters in this are very good. I think that I enjoy, even though they, like, are, you know, not terribly prominent, I appreciate the way that Kevin's got a good ear for voice, and they sound like, you know, real people, even if they only actually say two sentences. So
Kevin writes very good dialogue.
He does.
This is true.
Which, you know, is kind of essential for an audio drama. Helps.
Minor detail.
That's why he's done two of them. In fact.
Yes,
that's
correct.
So many still.
What haven't we talked? We haven't talked about Ryloth at all. This is a fascinating depiction of Ryloth's entry into the Republic.
Yes, and also their history. So during these, you know, Skywalker era, we know that Twi'leks are often, you know, they're a species that's a large part of the, slave trade. And also we know that Ryloth has spice mines. So, There's a lot of exploitation going on there as well in terms of people wanting to get their hands on unrefined spice. But in the High Republic era, none of these things have like come to full fruition yet. They're kind of just starting.
It's interesting also because, I mean, so historically Ryloth is very, very heavily Africa coded. Like,
yes,
it is the proud. I mean, it is one. Nation state, one planet, planetary government.
Because Africa's a country.
But other than that, like, it is chronically exploited with extremely corrupt leaders. Its people regularly sold into slavery, such that, like, Twi'leks being slaves is literally a joke made in Star Wars Rebels, the show for 10-year-olds.
So that was cool.
That was neat.
That was not uncomfortable in the slightest.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
Oh yeah!
Lando!
Oh yeah!
Lando's greatest... Yeah, that episode was something.
That was layers of... Oy.
It's not a Filoni high point.
It doesn't exist, mm-hmm. I think.
It's not a Filoni high point, that's
no,
for sure.
It's
up there with his name is Click Clack.
fuck me.
What the fuck is that for? I don't need to know.
I was going to say, pro tip, if you don't ever want to hear that joke, you can do what I did, never finish Rebels.
Burb.
Sorry.
Just... over here sighing as heavily as a dog with no responsibilities in the world.
Wow.
I started the Acolyte today, though.
You did.
We are proud of you for that.
Yeah, that's right.
Only because we promised you lesbians.
I baited you with lesbians. It's
okay,
true.
But I saw them on Twitter weeks ago.
Well, fair. Then why didn't you watch weeks ago? That feels like a personal problem.
I was busy watching one show like 4 times in a row.
Oh, yeah.
I was too busy watching Grey's Anatomy for the 15th time.
I was going to say, tell me more about your neurodivergence. I said because I was listening to the same song over and over again today for 4 hours straight. So, you know.
How many seasons of Grey's Anatomy are there at this point?
Too many.
I don't know. I stop at like season 10.
Okay, that's fair.
Restarted.
That was going to be my next question. Do you watch the whole thing or do you have a particular era?
No, okay. It's like The Simpsons where you just watch the first 10 seasons
and
then you
fair.
Stop.
That's fine. I respect it.
And then you just restart it.
Yes, correct.
That's fair.
Also, I have been trying to keep up with the Acolyte, but people keep spoiling shit for me.
Oh, that's a bummer.
And I just lose any motivation to watch it.
Honestly, one great thing about not being on Twitter anymore is I don't get spoiled for most things. I still get spoiled occasionally by my fucking like Google headlines, because obviously...
Because Chris is an old man. He's like, yes, let's check the Google headlines today.
They're very accessible from my phone, okay?
What the fuck, Grandpa? That's the most old man thing you can possibly do on a smartphone.
No, I'm with Chris on this one. I also use Google headlines.
Oh, of course
Thank you,
you do.
Richard.
Of course you do.
Do you also use the Discover tab?
Fucking
yes.
Thank God.
I have an iPhone? What is this shit?
I'm quitting the pod.
That's fine. Me and Richard will hold it down
ourselves. This is egregious.
Christ.
God.
Anyway, just to finish my point about Ryloth, it's kind of similar to the, like, idealized version of the prison, where, like, it feels very intentional that we are seeing this, like, very proud empire of its own joining the Republic and being again very high-minded and also participating in spice running and the slave trade. And like it feels like, sorry, I'm almost done, but it feels like it is a very intentional commentary on the futility of trying to join and improve broken systems.
I thought it was very interesting that whatever Lorna's shitty boyfriend's name was, like, they were out fucking around, and he figured out that they had spice, and her dad was like, absolutely the fuck not.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, is nice and smart, and you should not fuck around with that, but I don't think you're the one who gets to make that decision, man.
Yeah, and I mean it's interesting because like it's kind of a classic trope of like the one good leader in the face of, you know, capitalism in all its forms, the search, the race for money and exploitation.
Star Wars is also a hellscape. So, you know.
It's true. I mean, we're seeing it in The Acolyte. Sorry, I have Acolyte on the brain, A, because we watched it last night, but also B, because we are doing a panel, which is done by the time you listen to this.
Yes.
But at Fan Expo in Denver, where we're going to talk about The Acolyte and the High Republic books. So it's very top of mind for me that, like, by the time of The Acolyte, you are very much seeing the cracks in the Jedi Order that lead to, like, the pretty completely feckless organization that you see in the time of the prequels.
Also, if you hear a metallic banging noise, it's my chinchilla chewing on a plank of wood.
Classic.
Yep.
Incredible.
I would never dream to edit that out.
Hurley's contribution.
He says, I want to be part of the pod.
Oh, man. But yeah, no, I mean, I feel like there's more that could be said here about Ryloth and, you know, parallels to Africa and colonization and the Atlantic slave trade. And I don't have the range for that, so I'm not going to try because it's going to be bad.
Yeah, I also
don't have the range for that. It is kind of unfortunate just seeing over and over again Ryloth is a place. Anytime it's in Star Wars, it's for not a great reason.
Agree. Agreed.
There is always something terrible happening at any given time when we see Ryloth.
That's absolutely true. And I think it's really interesting, though, to see it in this different era because, like, you know, like, and I feel like we all kind of had this, like, talk when we first started the High Republic about, like, seeing these places we know when they're not as, you know, known or not as developed, not as far along in their lifespans like we're seeing the Republic back when it was good. We're seeing Coruscant back when it was still being built up. We're seeing Ryloth back when it nominally had its own independence, although you can already kind of see that slipping away from the corrupt interests. But it is interesting because, like, in true prequel fashion, like, we know what happens and it's not good. And we are seeing the seeds of that right now.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no. Just piggybacking off of what Richard was saying, like, you know, it was like really cool, for example, to like see the, you know, speaking of empires, the Togruta Empire and like how powerful they are, and they have a queen and they have this, you know, all of this system of you know, traditions and leadership hierarchy and their own you know, politics about joining the Republic. And yeah, no, Ryloth is just still over here just being absolutely fucking shafted. Like, I just,
it also, I mean, there's probably a really much more eloquent way that somebody probably has some like really eloquent and amazing thoughts on this, but it is interesting how every time we see Ryloth it's bad, and every time we see Twi'leks lately, they're set dressing.
Yes,
except for Hera.
Yes. Yes, I think that's a great point.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
That's true, but I will also say we have Hera in the books. We have Lorna D. We had
Twi'lek
in Book of Boba Fett that Burb was super attracted to.
Surprise.
Yes. Yeah, I know, but then Book of Boba Fett, so many cool pieces and such weird.
Oh, Jennifer Beals was a Twi'lek.
Yes,
in that.
Thank
yeah.
you. That is. Yeah. I was like, if I prompt her enough, Burb will know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Jennifer Beals was.
I was
in
thinking
that.
Of the Book of Boba Fett, but I was thinking about the two Twi'lek slaves.
Yes, I mean, that's, yeah, and then there's that.
The owner of that club was also a Twi'lek. That was my bad.
Yeah, but no, but I think it's very fair because like. Again, with the exception of Hera, Hera is, you know, the model minority of Twi'leks, so
me.
To speak. Like,
ouch.
Twi'leks remain in either exploited or exploitative positions, and there's no in-between. Like, owning a nightclub that is, like, underworld-affiliated is not clean work. As much as we all love Max Rebo and want to think that he would work in a, you know, classy establishment.
Listen, sometimes you have to take the really bad bar gigs when you're starting out, man. Like, it's...
I don't know why we would think that, Chris, when anytime I've seen Max, he's just been slumming it. So that poor guy. It's rough out there for
he us. Had a lot he had a hard time, you mm-hmm. know, getting captured by Jabba really set back a few years.
Yeah, didn't it though? I know.
I'm just thinking of the Max Rebo sculpture that like they of Lucasfilm officially sold that had a butt crack.
Which, by the way, so we have a group chat for the pod, obviously, and yeah, no, the photo for the group chat is just zoomed in on Max Rebo's butt crack.
Respect the rebooty.
No! No!
What?
No!
Oh my god, that's what that is?
Oh my god!
Incredible.
It's been that for years!
I just thought it was like some... like abstract. I've never looked closely at it.
It's a butt crack. It's a blue butt crack.
I told you.
I feel
blue.
Like we're there's no choice but to end it on blue butt crack. We are so off the rails, but also we did actually talk about all our points. There's going to be much more to talk about when we read the second half in our next episode. We'll be finishing Tempest Runner by Kevin Scott. And our next book after that, we are just going to plow through phase one of the High Republic. So we're going to be reading Mission to Disaster by Justina Ireland. That is the third middle grade book for the High Republic. So check that out. Get ready for it if you want to read it with us, you know, over the course of undoubtedly 3 to 4 months. Meanwhile, if you have the means, first and foremost, please donate to your local abortion fund. Go to the National Network of Abortion Funds at abortionfunds.org in order to donate. Then, if you feel like lighting an additional $1 to $2 on fire, you can donate to the Tosh Station Radio Patreon. It does help cover our hosting and production costs. You can do that at patreon.com/ToshiStation or give us coffee at ko-fi.com/bookwarspod. Just a note about the Patreon, because I'm doing this out of order. Don't ask me why. I was feeling chaotic.
It's not Gemini season anymore. Get out of here.
We have two Patreon tiers at this point. Tier one.
It's
gets
your
you
wife's
into
time, sir.
The what?
It's your wife's time to shine.
It's true. It's no longer Gemini season. It is the Cancers are here.
It's high time for cry time.
It's crab time.
Did you say
so there's
crab
two...
time.
Yeah.
Cancer is a crab. That's the thing. I don't know a lot about astrology, but I know that.
I didn't.
Richard's fucking face is just like, this is, I've learned, he's like, I've learned so many things and I didn't want to know any of them.
Richard's just out here like, I feel like you're insulting your wife, but I can't place why.
Oh my god.
Anyway, so there's two Patreon tiers. $1 a month gets you into the Slack channel where we talk about all manner of things, including the impending heat death of the civilized Earth.
Nice.
And also, we have a $2 tier where you can watch us stream. I've been streaming Shadow of the Erdtree, which is phenomenal. I'll probably do a little tomorrow. You never know. Which obviously doesn't help you all listeners because it will have happened. But
I keep getting destroyed by that twink. I had to set it down for a minute.
Oh no.
I don't know if you're further than me, or if you're talking about main game, but we'll discuss. We'll discuss. I am not that far. Because I have not had a ton of time to play.
Also, you keep doing side quests.
I can't.
You have to help the farmer get the garlic so his wife will love him again.
No, it's more like you have to murder the farmer so that everything will be bad. It's Elden Ring. Nobody's happy again. Nobody ends Elden Ring.
And then
happy.
You take the garlic and you poison everyone else.
One of the official endings of the base game is unleashing a plague of fucking
that's
poop.
What I got.
Pustules onto
poop.
People forever being reborn cursed.
It's poop.
It is literal poop. But then the good ending is waifu, so it's okay.
Oh my god.
Anyway, we also stream Halo 2. Me and Kate play co-op. Usually we're high when we do it, so it's a good time. Anyway, when you give us coffee, we'll post extra pictures of There's so many pets of the pod. Jesus Christ. Argos, Orca, Flix, Merly, Tony, Wedge Arptilles, Tifa Barkhart.
That's all.
Right, that was only seven.
I love that you gave him the full government name.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, our theme song is Whiz Bang by Poddington Bear. Our logo and artwork are by Joe Butera Design. And our audio and production are done by our very own Richard at Ash Jeffies.
To be changed at some point.
It will be at Ash Jeffies until I remember that I should probably change it.
Right? Our very own at Ash Jeffies may or may not still exist by the time this episode comes out. But anyway, thank you for listening, especially if you're a new listener who made the misguided choice to tune in from our Fan Expo panel.
Thanks. Sorry.
Or if you're in my Legion group, feel free to laugh at me. Because I told them all about us this week. Anyway, from all of us, Kate, Miranda, Richard, Rana, myself, all of the pups and Kitty and Chinchilla. Do we still include Kristen in this? Does she count? All right, Kristen doesn't count. Kristen does not say thank you. Kristen says go fuck yourself. The rest of us say thank you so much for listening.
Bo says go fuck yourself or he'll knife you.
That's true. He does. We have determined he has the grip strength for a knife. Anyway, thanks for listening. Bye. Fucking nailed it.